Welcome everyone to the gym class here on KGYM at 3:04. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, across from Mark Dukes, actually. Kyle Mann, our producer, and you out there. We welcome you in to the studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Bright sunshine right now, but that was not the case earlier on today as we got some very beneficial rains. Almost a half an inch in downtown Cedar Rapids that moved through our neck of the woods and pretty much all of eastern Iowa, and most of it has moved up into the dairy state of Wisconsin right now, Mark, where they just blew the horn at Erin Hills. And as Jason Sobel, our friend from ESPN Golf, as well as Bob Herrig, a usual contributor to our program here, if you have not put a peg in the ground as of yet, you're out of luck because you're going to have to tee it up tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I think the next couple days are going to be a little perilous at Erin Hills.
Bite your tongue.
You're going to find out for sure as you're going to be in the state and on the grounds. I think on Friday, right?
Yes, okay. Friday.
Hopefully it won't be as widespread because you just hate any tournament, let alone a major, to be backed up.
Yeah.
And looks like there may be a chance of that.
It's down to a 30% chance of rain, though, on Friday, I am happy to report. But it means 70% likelihood of great weather.
Mm-hmm.
You like how I flipped that? You like how I've done that so far?
I do.
All right, very good. We'll talk more golf coming up here in just a little bit here on the program. As I mentioned, we got Caddy Smack coming up here. A few things to take a look at here today. And one of those wanted to talk a little bit about. And that is the fact that first of all, before we get to that, we did have another Iowa Hawkeye baseball player selected in the Major League Baseball draft today. I believe 16th round. Is that correct?
Yep. Nick Gallagher from the University of Iowa, right-handed pitcher, taken in the 16th round by the Cleveland Indians. Three other Iowa-related players taken. Corey Howell, shortstop from Kirkwood Community College here in Cedar Rapids. Yeah, 19th round by the Kansas City Royals. I think according to Jeff Johnson, the first Kirkwood player taken in about 10 years.
Since Lala.
Yeah. Iowa Western Junior College right-handed pitcher Keaton Wynn.
Not Kelly Lala, by the way.
No. 20th round of the Giants. And Iowa Central Community College right-hander Anderson De Leon, 24th round to the Reds. They're going to complete the draft today. Of course, earlier, Jake Adams and Mason McCoy taken in the 6th round by the Astros and Orioles, respectively. First Iowan taken yesterday, Daniel Tillo, left-handed pitcher from Sioux City in the 3rd round, and John Swanda, Roosevelt of Des Moines pitcher in the 4th round.
Talking about the Major League Draft, just coming out moments ago, Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette tweeting out that another Hawkeye has been taken, this one in the 30th round, by my Chicago White Sox. Ryan Erickson has been drafted. So
had a really good Big Ten tournament.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And to piggyback on what you said about Nick Gallagher, and it sounds as though he has already made his mind up. He is going to sign with Cleveland and is done with his collegiate career at the University of Iowa. I don't know how big of a surprise that is, but I think that a lot of people thought he would think about it a little bit more, but that does not seem to be the case. He's already said on social media that, yes, I am going to sign and I'm going to be a Cleveland Indian coming up. So best of luck to him. And kind of knew that Iowa was going to lose some players, but they do have some pretty good ones coming back as well. He had a lot of juniors and seniors, but he had some freshmen and sophomores in there as well in the lineup for Rick Heller this year.
Yeah, there is a matter for Coach Heller of his incoming recruits and where they will be drafted as well and what they're going to do with their careers. So I'm sure we'll find that out here in the days and weeks to come.
Iowa City West just tweeting out Nick Gallagher, the first Trojan to ever get drafted.
Oh.
How about that? They've had some good players go through City West program for Charlie Stumpf. So there you go. You're up to date with what's happening in the Major League Baseball draft, and they're going fast and furious today. They have the first two rounds, I think, in the first day, then 3 through 10 yesterday, and then they hit the
11 through 40 today.
Yeah, 30 rounds of the draft coming up today. So if any more get drafted, we will keep you up to date on that. Erickson, 4.15 ERA. That in 2016, 3.00 ERA this year for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So there you go. Congratulations to them. Last night, want to get your thoughts about it as well. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Again, that is 319-366-1600. We had the first of the two-part series, the 30 for 30, on the big Laker-Celtic rivalry. And as per usual, like you said, Mark, 30 for 30s are pretty good, and I thought it was very good again last night. Looking forward to the second half of that one coming up tonight. It was the prologue, if you will, last night's two-hour episode. It was leading up to the eve of the first of the four showdowns in the 80s between the Lakers and the Celtics.
I have not seen it. I recorded it and saw the previews. I was too busy watching the Twins trying to kick an extra point.
What happened?
That game against Seattle.
What happened? Fred Cox is usually reliable, and he missed an extra point last night for the Twins.
That was a lot of fun, but it's
not if you were
game.
A Mariner fan.
No, but yeah, I'm anxious to see that 30 for 30, and like I told you earlier, they're usually very, very good, and I'd be disappointed if this one isn't.
No, it was really, really good, and the background just taking it through. You know, the first time the Lakers and the Celtics had a big rivalry, and that was in the 60s when the Celtics just dominated, and they won each and every one of those particular series with Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain, that Laker team, Elgin Baylor, people like that. And then the background of the two cities. It was very interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Top marks for ESPN for doing that, and looking forward to the second half coming up tonight. And see what that brings us. And like I said, I really enjoyed the NBA back then. I don't enjoy it quite as much as I do now as I did back then. Mm-hmm. It was just a different game from now. Not going to say it's better. Not going to say it's worse. Hey, NBA is coming off their best television ratings since the Jordan era. Now, granted, you had a lot of superstars playing in this one. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Curry, Durant, Thompson, people like that. I mean, it was the cream of the crop.
I suppose the folks that watch the NBA now in 20 or 30 years when ESPN, if it still does a 30 for 30 and does a piece about LeBron and the rest of the stars of this era, you know, folks might think the same 20, 30 years down
Absolutely.
The road. But that really was a terrific era when the Lakers and Celtics were going at it. And
they hated each other.
Well, they didn't.
There was hatred.
I think that's accurate. Yeah.
True. True. So your thoughts, 319-366-1600. Did you like it last night? Just kind of want to get the impression of the people out there, of the listeners.
Yeah, on the text line, 1121 wonders if Keaton Wynn went to high school at Pekin, and indeed he did. A Pekin Panther, and he went from there to Iowa Western and now on to the San Francisco Giants.
Excellent. Very good. He might be the first player from the Pekin baseball program to be drafted. Perhaps. I don't know. 319-366-1600. And we're going to get to Caddy Smack coming up here in just a moment. But first, we haven't heard from her in ages. I was worried about her.
Yeah, but you know, when football season is over, I kind of, you know, hide in my hole.
What were your thoughts, Troy, about the 30 for 30 last night?
I loved it. You know, I loved all the 30 for 30. But the point that popped out to me was, you know how they talk about the Golden State Warriors right now, if anybody could beat them.
Right.
But, you know, you can look at it. Look at Boston. You know, we had Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia had a hard time with Boston, and then you went from Detroit. Detroit had to get over the hump with Boston, and then you had the Bulls getting over. So it's just this whole cycle. But I love that. You know, everybody had. You know, they had a chance, and everybody caught up with them eventually. So that's what I thought was
interesting. Well, the Pistons gave teams a fit back in the day as well.
Right, because the Pistons was. You know, they couldn't get over the hump with the Celtics. So when they did. And then it was like the Bulls couldn't get over the Pistons, but then they eventually did. So it was just really, when you saw, I mean, I love seeing Dr. J and Chocolate Thunder.
Daryl Dawkins, a couple of those dunks.
Really, yeah. I mean, and that's, basketball was great. I was a big fan during basketball at that time. Right now, if it's close with the last 3 minutes, I watch it. But it's a Dukes, you're going to love it. It's a wonderful show. And even like with Larry Bird, you know, when he called him the Great White Hope, he's like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah. They went into a lot of depth in that, and it was very interesting.
Yeah, really, and even I didn't even realize Magic Johnson's relationship with, you know, with Buss. It was well done. Well done. You're going to enjoy it. And if you record it, you can watch it over and over again.
There you go.
Thanks,
there
Cajun.
You go. Thanks,
all right,
Troy.
Guys, take care and stay cool, okay?
You too. You too. That's Cajun Troy. Let's go. Got a couple more calls lined up here at 319-366-1600. Going to get to Caddy Smack coming up here in a moment. And let's bring in Scott from Marion. Joins us here on the Gym Class. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I haven't seen the 30 for 30 yet. I was recording it, but I was a huge fan. Watched the Lakers and Celtics go back and forth. And I think the biggest thing that I would say, that the reason I don't like the NBA, the reason I don't think it's good, the reason I think it's one step away from being a glorified Globetrotters game, is there's no longer about any teams. If you notice this last finals, when they flash between the commercials, it was pictures of LeBron or pictures of this. It's all about the individual. That's why you have the Monte Balls, I think that's his name, that kid out in L.A., doing what they're doing. It has nothing to do with the team anymore. And It's not even team ball most of the time. How many times did you see them isolate LeBron, basically a four guys standing as far away from him as he possibly could get so they could do a one-on-one thing? Mm-hmm. How many times did you see poor defense? I saw tons of poor defense. I can't even list them all out here for you. It would be too long of a phone call.
Yeah.
It's just poor basketball. It just is. And I know from coaching it, I know from playing it, and I know from watching for the last 30 years what good basketball looks like and what bad basketball looks like. Watch the NCAA tournament, see good basketball. Watch the NBA, see Globetrotters.
I think you have a good point, Scott, because I think back in the day you didn't have to be a Celtics fan or a Lakers fan to appreciate that game.
No. No, it was – because think about a McHale or a Rambus or a Cooper. Where would they fit? But they had a role.
Yeah.
They all had roles, and they all played their role. And it was a team you had to beat. It wasn't – Magic Johnson and Larry Bird were obviously important, but I saw many games where those guys made the difference.
Cooper was a great defensive player. You don't see many defensive stoppers this period anymore.
New
in this day and age. So
you mean Rambus with his big old glasses coming out there and banging on people has no, you know, there's no Rambus. It's not even really even a Rodman anymore.
No,
for that matter.
All right, thanks, Scott. Appreciate that.
You bet.
319-366-1600. 17 past the hour of 3. Thanks for the comments. Very interesting here. Mm-hmm. I knew it would be. And we will go ahead. We're going to take a quick break, come back. Brian's going to join us. Rick Swann's going to join us as well. We're going to get the Caddy Smack here on the Gym Class. So stay tuned. More to come here on the Wednesday edition. We'll do it right after this here on KGYM.
Amana Colonies Golf Club is excited to announce the completion of their new event center. The beautiful 3,200-square-foot lakeside barn can accommodate up to 200 guests. This is the perfect setting for weddings, graduation parties, retirement parties, bridal showers, baby showers, and of course, group golf outings. Amana Colonies Golf Club is the group golf destination of Eastern Iowa. Visit amanagolf.com for more information.
At ABC Supply, their goal is to be the best company to work for in America. And right now, they have openings in Cedar Rapids. ABC Supply is hiring now for drivers. Come be a part of their great team at the nation's largest supplier of exterior building supplies. Their benefits are excellent, including health, dental, vision, 401k, and profit sharing. And you'll enjoy paid vacations and holidays. And drivers, you'll be home every night. Ready to build your career at ABC Supply? Apply right now at abcsupply.com.
If your AC isn't cold, head over to O'Reilly Auto Parts during Murray AC Month for a 20-ounce can of AC Pro R134A refrigerant with a gauge and hose on sale for $32.99 after mail-in rebate. Cool your AC system in 3 easy steps with a can of AC Pro at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
O'Reilly. weekend. Two of baseball's best go head-to-head at Minute Maid Park.
At the wall, leaping, and it's gone. Wow. Dustin Pedroia.
The Red Sox are in the middle of an eight-game road trip, which takes them to Houston to face the Major League leading Astros.
Best team in Major League Baseball, there's one answer. It's the Houston Astros.
Major League Baseball, the Boston Red Sox and Houston Astros, Saturday and Sunday at 6, right here on KGYM.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM. It's Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, talking local and national golf from the first tee to the 19th hole. Here are Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and Rick Swann.
And we are back at 3:20, Caddy Smack in the Gym Class, coming your way for a Wednesday, U.S. Open Wednesday here on KGYM, and it's brought to you by Blue Top Ridge down at Riverside. Of course, Brian, the head pro down there, and we thank him for stopping up as per usual, as well as the St. Andrews Golf Club here in Cedar Rapids and the Amana Colonies Golf Club down in Amana. And we did have a call right at the end of our last segment, Mark, asking about... caller asked about a University of Iowa. He said football player, but I didn't think he was thinking basketball player along with baseball player. I think he was thinking of Connor McCaffrey. He has not been drafted so far and not sure that he's going to be drafted because of he's pretty much made known that he's going to go to Iowa, play both basketball and baseball. So if that yes. was what the caller was wondering about, then... I think we can answer that question for him. Did have a dual football-baseball player back in the day with Dane and Hughes.
Terrific athlete, and we know it. Well, you know, having played for the Kansas City Chiefs after being in the minor leagues and actually had a good couple years in the minor leagues. And he was drafted both in the NFL and MLB,
yep.
right?
Yeah, ended up playing with the Kansas City Chiefs in the National Football League. All right, Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. We're going to talk to Chad Pitts from the Iowa Golf Association coming up in just a little bit. But we welcome in Brian Haas here to the studio on this Wednesday. And how you got to be happy because you and the rest of the pros around Eastern Iowa had liquid gold come down this morning.
Yeah, we needed it too. We were ready for it. And it was just time for a little bit of rain.
It was amazing how we can go from a month of rain, almost too much rain. And then the faucet shut off for about 2.5 weeks, and now we're wondering where it went.
Right, right. And, well, today even, we had a couple events at our facility, and we actually got split a little bit. So we caught a little rain in the morning, and then for the actual event, we got missed. So we were very lucky.
Mm. So you got the best of both worlds.
We did.
Right down there. Well, we're going to talk a lot about the U.S. Open being played at Erin Hills up in the state of Wisconsin. First U.S. Open to be played in the state of Wisconsin. First one in the Midwest since 2003 at Olympia Fields. And they are under a weather delay. Looks like they got some bad stuff going through there. I don't think they're going to get any more practice. So I guess you better have gotten your practice in.
Game time. Yeah.
Because you're on the tee.
Yeah, it's game time.
Just watching Golf Channel, listening, reading things, it's a very I can't wait to get there. I'll be right there Friday. It's a course that is probably the biggest property it's ever been on. That scares me a little bit.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of walking
yes,
on your
it
part.
Is. Yes. Yes, it is. But just a different type of golf course. They say it's Shinnecock Hills on steroids.
Okay.
Is what it is.
That's where the tournament is next year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it can play to 8,300 yards. They aren't going to play it that long. They have played it there before.
Right.
And it's going to be about 77, 78. And they're saying that's not real long. It's not going to play that much. And with the wet conditions, I'm wondering, in four par fours or four par fives, first time it's a par 72 in something like 20 years, I'm just wondering if we could see scores getting into the double digits this weekend.
You know, it really is going to depend on the rain. And usually U.S. Open courses are fast. So fairways are fast. Greens are fast. They're usually not out watering the fairways and drying out the greens. It's usually dry out the whole golf course. So when you're playing at 77 on a course that's firm and fast, it doesn't play 7,700. It's playing more in what they play on a regular basis week to week, distance-wise. However, typically the courses shrink, and they shrink left and right is where they shrink. And I think they're going to have more issues with that than they will the length.
If you could have one quality, Brian, and you're in this tournament, whether it's driving accuracy, iron play, short game, patience, whatever it may be, what would you want to know that it's going to be there through the whole tournament?
I think for the U.S. Open, it's the tee ball. And putting a good ball in play, not backing off too much, but being able to have control over that tee ball and keep it in play, because at that level they're good at everything, and I think ultimately missing a green here and there, you're gonna get in trouble, but they're gonna get up and down more times than not, and where you can't recover is from 180 yards away and 200 yards away and 170 yards away. It's harder to recover from there.
This is probably the widest U.S. Open fairways that we're going to see maybe ever, at least in the modern era. I mean, we're talking 50, 60-yard wide fairways. But if you miss it, you're
in
you're
the prairie
done.
Grass. Yeah, you're in the fescue in the prairie grass, whatever version of that you'd like to call it. But they've had a lot more rain than we have. And our facility has prairie grass lining the golf course, and it's an integral part of our course, and it is of theirs as well. We have years when we're very lush, and honestly, it's almost even not fair because you can hardly even go in there and find your ball. This year, for instance, we're more dry. We've had weeks without rain. Our prairie grass is absolutely perfect right now. It's just wispy. You can walk in there. You can actually find your ball. Doesn't mean it's not going to wrap around your golf club when you try to hit it, but you can actually find it. And then the years that it's lush and wet, it's hard to even find your ball.
To piggyback off Scott's comment about the fairways, I've heard some players talk about, though, you get back on the tee and it's not visually advantageous to you, really, because you can't see everything out there. So how do you approach that?
Yeah,
you trust yourself, I suppose.
Yeah, you have to trust yourself. You have to pick spots, just like you do on a parkland course where there's lots of trees and things to aim at. You have to do the exact same thing in these golf courses. You have to use edges of bunkers. You have to use anything off in the distance that you can see that you can create an exact target and really get pinpointed and play to your spots on the golf course.
Interesting. And it's a links-ish type of golf course.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it doesn't play as a links-ish golf course. If you will.
Right.
You got to kind of play the contours a little bit, but then there are some places that you can throw it up in the air.
Right.
And bring it down.
So I put that in the category of the modern links style. And a lot of architects are building modern links courses. My course would be considered a modern links course. The trees that are on the golf course really aren't in play.
Mm-hmm.
They're set back. There's one or two spots where possibly a tree's in play. Possibly off the 18th tee box is the only one I can really think of off the top of my head right now. But
cut that down, will you?
Yeah, the rest of the trees are set away, and they maybe frame the hole a little bit, but they frame them from a distance where if you hit it that far and you're behind a tree, you've actually hit it pretty well out of play.
I go around it.
Yeah.
What's the Erin Hills this year, Chambers Bay a couple of years ago. Do you like the fact that they're going to different venues, or would you rather have them at traditional courses?
I'm okay with the changes.
Yeah.
I think the history of it shows a lot of change too. And playing open courses or prairie type courses or a parkland type course, they've played at all of them. So I think it's good that they move around. It's different. I also enjoy like the Masters, where I know they're playing at Augusta every year.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate that too. And you know what you're getting into because you're going to the same golf course. Where the Open, I think, is more of that, what have I gotten myself into this year kind of scenario. And every year you look at that differently because they're playing a different kind of golf course. So the trouble changes, and the type of trouble changes. So thus, a whole different group of players maybe have a better chance or a worse chance depending on what their game strengths are.
This is the first, I should say this is going to be the final new course they're going to go to for a while. They got some They got some traditional.
They got them back into the lineup again. Yes.
Traditional haunts that are lined up for about the next 6, 7, 8 years. So enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, and that's okay too. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
Jerry Ask Investment Services, text line 319-366-1600. That's jkainvest.com. 6936 has a question for all of us. I'm going to be there Saturday. What big name player do you think won't make the cut? That's like trying to pick a winner, isn't it?
It is.
I went through there, and we'll give our predictions coming up. Big name player that will not make the cut.
I'm going with Phil.
Well, he might not even be there.
That's true. Oh, then I win already.
Phil Mickelson right now is hoping for a deluge that they can't tee off in time because he has not dropped out. He's not withdrawn yet.
Right.
Bowens is there. His caddy, Jim McKay, is there going over the course right now.
Getting the work done.
And it's just a matter of if they have a rain delay or anything like that pushes them back, Phil is probably going to take a jet and get there. If not, then probably he's going to be out of luck.
I'm going to say Ricky Fowler.
I think Ricky's going to do well.
He's missed the last couple cuts in Opens.
Guy that's not been playing well, and I don't see him turning things around here, is a Martin Kaymer. So I'm going to go with Kaymer.
Yeah.
Former champion there. 3:30, we're going to talk more about the U.S. Open. Chad Pitts from the Iowa Golf Association is going to join us, and I'm going to talk about what's going on with the IGA, but also about just putting together some of the sectionals and things like that, right, Brian? Because he's involved in that.
Yeah, the U.S. Open starts here.
Yeah.
And starts in your local USGA affiliate, and the Iowa Golf Association is our USGA affiliate. And Chad Pitts is our executive director of our Iowa Golf Association, and he hosts our local Iowa Open or U.S. Open qualifying, and gets to watch the players come out of the Iowa section.
You've been in an Iowa or section qualifier, local qualifier?
I usually go pretty regularly, and I couldn't go this year; just didn't fit my schedule. But I do try to go and support it.
Yeah, there you go.
By playing in it.
I try to play in it.
3:31. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk to Chad, and we'll have more about the U.S. Open. Take your calls as well on golf and texts on golf as well, U.S. Open, and just your regular golf game out there. We'll do that when we come back here on KGYM.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before 1 and after 5, ride 18 holes for $23. Bring your juniors with you because kids 12 and under play free anytime Monday through Friday. And on weekday evenings, take in a relaxing 18 holes with a cart for just $23 too. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. All items subject to sales tax, special prices for walk-ins only, not scheduled outings.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And because Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their most popular set, complete with a razor, one of their world-famous blades, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free if you cover shipping. A total value of $20 at no cost to you with code 1154 at checkout. Their way of saying thank you for trying them. How is Harry's able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures the blades. That's how. Go to harrys.com now and enter code 1154 at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com. Code 1154.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR, the perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota, let's go places.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you here in the gym class. Caddy smack on the gym class, to be exact, here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here. We're going to be joined by Rick Swann coming up from Rob FM here in just a moment. Talk more about the U.S. Open as well as we come your way at 3:34. Also here today, we got a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away before 4 o'clock today, which includes a 24-pack of regular or diet Dr. Pepper, a Dr. Pepper t-shirt, a KGYM t-shirt, and a KGYM pint glass. So that we'll give that away coming up here in just a little bit. But Brian, we're going to talk with a good friend of yours that runs things with the Iowa Golf Association, correct?
Yeah, Chad Pitts is the executive director at the Iowa Golf Association and hosts all of our local USGA events and for instance, like the U.S. Open qualifying. So if anybody would have made it through our local qualifying, they go on to the regionals, I think, is or sectionals that they call it, and then they would move into the U.S. Open if they could make it through that. And Chad and his crew are the association that takes care of all of that for the USGA.
Awesome. And Chad, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And well, yeah, like Brian said before the break, the road to the U.S. Open starts here. As it was said in the movie Tin Cup, it's the most democratic, democratic national championship there is, or the majors, because anybody can win it, right?
That's true. Yep. And like Brian said, we do run, every year we run a local qualifier here in the state of Iowa. This year, we were down at Spirit Hollow in Burlington, and we've done it at Brian's place there at Blue Top Ridge a couple years ago. And, we move it around the state, although, admittedly, because the USGA has some requirements on length and things like that, you know, you couldn't take it to just any course around the state. You do have to have a certain amount of length because they want anybody who qualifies, you know, to be able to handle the sectional round or even Erin Hills if they should make it that far.
I would imagine it's a situation, Chad, that you think you're a pretty good player until you get to that level, huh?
Yeah, I think that a lot of guys find that out, and it's probably a combination of things. It's the golf course setup because you do need to set it up fairly hard to provide that U.S. Open test. But it's also the pressure, you know, that comes with playing competitive golf, and maybe some of these guys are playing in a U.S. Open qualifier for the first time. So it's pretty rare that you're going to make it through the first time you ever try it, because you got to deal with the mental side of things just as much as the physical.
And some of us play because we just go to support it. Because, Chad, how many players do you need to move on, say, two players or three players from our local?
Every year it's a little different, Brian, and it depends on how many total entries the USGA gets for the U.S. Open. But typically we are in the 60 to 75 player range, which usually gets us three or four spots that get to go on to the sectional round.
Yeah, and a chance to do it all over again.
Yeah, at another level as well.
Yeah, with people that are even better.
At the sectional level, you'll go into that, and there'll be exempt players already, and that's where you'll find some names. Right. You'll see like a Davis Love or somebody that maybe doesn't have an exemption any longer into a U.S. Open, but they have an exemption into the sectional. And so then you can be, they won't necessarily pair you up with them, but you could be in the practice tee standing next to them, you know, getting ready to play, and you realize, okay, I am in a different world.
Yeah, it's almost like a couple of those sectional sites, they always, there's one immediately, the Monday of sectional qualifying is the Monday right after Jack's tournament, the Memorial. And so there's always a big qualifier in Columbus, Ohio, and then the next weekend the tour's in Memphis. So they always, on that Monday, they do a qualifier down there in Memphis. So the Columbus qualifier and the Memphis qualifier are almost like, a
one-day tour
sort
event.
Of lower-tier tour stop, yeah, exactly, yeah. Like a Puerto Rico Open or something. You know, you got all those guys who, you look at those names and think, hey, they probably should be in the U.S. Open, but they're not.
Right.
Yeah, very stringent to get into the United States Open anyway.
Chad, the IGA administers several tournaments throughout the year, and you've already had some. Talk about what's coming up, including the Iowa Amateur. It's going to be in our backyard.
Yeah, a couple of them that are over in your guys' area. Like you mentioned, the Iowa Amateur is going to be at Cedar Rapids Country Club. We're really excited about that for a few reasons. One, we haven't been there in quite a while. But two is they recently completed a terrific restoration of their Donald Ross golf course that I think turned out brilliantly. And a lot of the players are excited for that. And so, yeah, we're going to be there at the end of July, July 24th through the 26th for the Iowa Amateur. It's the 115th playing of the Iowa Amateur, which,
wow.
If you look, I think the U.S. Open this year's, is it 118 or 119? I mean, we're actually not that far behind the U.S. Open and U.S. Amateur as far as number of times being played, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, and then later, we also have our U.S. Amateur qualifying. So just like the U.S. Open, we do qualifying for the U.S. Amateur, and that's going to be held at Finkbein in Iowa City also in July. So
I remember they hosted that at our place a number of years back.
Yeah.
I think Ian Vandersee may have came out on top on that one, and it was hot.
Yeah.
It was so hot, and he shot a couple of rounds, you know, like 67 and something, And let me tell you, Chad and the gang had that thing tipped out. Those boys didn't have any advantage whatsoever.
Right. Brian's right. Our biggest worry was we were making sure there was bottled water and coolers on about every single hole, because they're, you know, when they have to walk like you do in a USGA qualifier, you know, it could get pretty brutal out there.
And the U.S. Amateurs, they got to walk 36 in a day.
Right.
Yeah.
Chad, how do you determine the various venues, for example, the Iowa Amateur?
There's a few different things. One is, like I kind of mentioned earlier, we tend to go to the golf courses that can give us a little more length. But we also try to move it around the state. We have a general loose principle where we're going to try and keep it central around the Des Moines, Ames metro area every other year, and then go east and west on the opposite years of that. So that lets us kind of move it around the state. And, you know, we try to take it to the top venues for sure. Places like Cedar Rapids Country Club, you know, Des Moines Golf, when we're able to go there, Sunnyside Country Club last year up in Waterloo. So, places that we know are going to be a pretty big draw. You know, we tend to get more entry when we're at a private club because, you know, people don't always get to play those courses. Mm. But, you know, some public facilities like Harvester or Blue Top or some of those will draw just as much entry. Spirit Hollow, you know, the really, really top-notch courses around the state is where we want to take our biggest championship.
Yeah, so you got a big summer ahead of you, obviously, and with that, the amateur going on, you've got senior events, you got junior events, so you got everything up and down the line.
We do. It's quite busy, and it goes really fast when you kind of realize it's already, what is it, June
14th.
This is how bad it is. We were talking today. I mean, we work so many weekend days, and Brian would know this too. We have to stop and think about what day of the week it is.
I was just going to say that. I go, you don't know what day of the week it is. Neither do I.
The U.S. Open does start tomorrow. It is Wednesday.
Right.
I didn't even realize that.
Blue Top Ridge is going to host a club team in October.
Yep.
Yes. That's a cool event. That's become pretty popular. Basically, what it is is any of our member clubs can send a team of four golfers. And think of it kind of like a high school or college meet where you're going to play your own golf ball, and we're going to take, you know, the three best 18-hole scores out of your four-man team.
Great. Yeah, that'll be fun.
It is fun.
They'll be down there.
So I have one more question for you, Chad, and that's the new rules for 2019.
Sure.
What do you think about those? How they're going to drop the ball? What they're going to call penalty areas?
Right.
And some of the new rules going forward.
So some of the ones that, in general, my general thought on all of that is I really, really like them. I like the penalty area thing. I think that is going to be a good deal for pace of play. A lot of courses are already kind of doing that anyway, where they mark a wooded area or a no-mo area as lateral. Where
right.
Under the rules right now, you're really not supposed to do that, but the USGA's kind of realized, hey, this is happening. Maybe we should embrace it rather than, you know, go against it type of thing. The other thing I really like being able to leave the flag stick in when you're putting. I do that all the time when I play. You know, if I'm out playing by myself, I hardly ever take the flag stick out. So
right.
It's kind of nice to know that that won't be a rules violation. The things that I'm hearing that'll be maybe a little more controversial is only allowing guys 3 minutes to look for a ball. And then on the women's side of golf, especially, is the way I understand it, is that they're not going to let your caddies line you up at all.
Right, right, which you see a lot more on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, when you watch the Solheim Cup later in the year here in Iowa, you're going to see that those caddies line those women up a lot, almost every single time. And it sounds like that they're gonna propose that be a violation. And you know that I know that's been met with some negative feedback from those players, certainly. So
will that include also if your caddy's reading your putt? Because in a way you're kind of lining them up and saying, hey, I need you to stand over there this is your direction.
Yeah, that's a good question, Brian, and I haven't delved that deep into the weeds on that yet. I know on the USGA's website you can go read, word for word, the entire proposed changes.
Right.
And I bet we could find that out if we took the time to dig into it. But it might very well, the way you describe that, you know.
Right.
You're really talking about is on the tee, the caddy being behind the player, and once the player's lined up, the caddy moves away.
Walks away, right. Yeah. They're looking at that going away.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that's a pace of play thing as much
exactly.
as anything. It's got to be my guess on that.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the 3 minutes will be a little awkward too at first, but it will help the game.
I think I like it. I just know a lot of people have had a negative reaction to that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, they should hit the ball straighter.
Thank you, Rory.
Like Rory.
Hey, Chad, appreciate the time. And if people want to check out more with the Iowa Golf Association, go ahead and give us a website.
Yeah, it's just iowagolf.org. And you can find all of our information on there, including phone numbers and emails. If you want to find out more, just get in touch with us. And we're here, like I said, every day, even if we don't know what day it is.
Right, right, right. And call and see what you can do to play with in the IGA events. It's a lot of fun, and it's great amateur golf all over the state of Iowa.
Yeah, more than likely, we've got an event that's coming somewhat close to your hometown, no matter where you're at. So,
yeah, good stuff. Chad, thank you. Appreciate it, and have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Chad Pitts from the Iowa Golf Association joining us here on the Gym Class and KGYM. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk U.S. Open again, give our picks for who's going to win, who's going to be holding the trophy on Sunday. Rick will join us from Rob FM as well. So stay tuned. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Hi there. I'm here for your basement.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Yeah, what seems to be the problem?
It's my basement. It's bad.
Sure, let's take a look.
No, you don't understand. It's gotten a little out of hand. A pipe leaked in the ceiling and it never quit.
Well, let's assess the damage.
Okay. Hi there.
Who's this?
I told you it was bad.
You two look like you could use ponchos.
The other day it was just a leak, and then this happened.
You know where the shutoff valve is?
Ah, feel that breeze.
I think it's over by that dinghy.
A plumber, are you? Say, I could use a guy like you. Have any experience on boats?
As a matter of fact, I do. My father was a lobster fisherman up in Nova Scotia for many years.
You don't say.
Yeah, I really only took this plumbing gig to earn a little extra scratch, but really...
Not again.
Home in need of repair? Don't drown in debt. Get a loan. Go to Paco. DePaco Community Credit Union. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
Hit your stride early morning or slice into the afternoon at the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Courses. Special rates will make your game an even better value. You'll find early bird and twilight rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com. Enjoy the country setting of Gardner, the easygoing nature of Jones, the bustle and activity of Twin Pines, or the rolling hills of Ellis. Find early bird and after 2 p.m. twilight rates for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, to be exact, here at 3:48 here on KGYM. Our thanks to Chad Pitts for joining us here. And kick around the U.S. Open at Erin Hills coming up for the remainder of our time. If you have a comment about it, or if you have a comment for Brian, a question, of Brian about your game out there. 319-366-1600, our phone number. You can also reach us on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. In fact, let's do this right now, Kyle. Let's go ahead and give away our Dr. Pepper prize pack right now to caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Our Dr. Pepper prize pack, thanks to Steve, everybody down the hill. Mark, you're going to be able to give that away. Don't forget to give it away the next 2 days.
Got it locked in.
Okay, locked in. Very good. All right. U.S. Open, going to be fun. Links-type course. It's wet. You've got everything going on, and should be very interesting.
Before we get to our picks, Ryan from Walford on the text line.
Hello, Ryan.
Over under on the highest posted score on a single hole this week. I'm thinking we could see a Kevin Na type number. What would be a 16? Daly at 18.
It's not going to be that big.
I don't think it'll be that big either.
I can tell you what hole I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be on 18.
It's a par 5, right?
It's like 630, 650-ish. And
you think anybody will even make it 10? I'm going to go with a 9.
I'm going to go 10. I'm going to go with right on 10. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that. Thinking in a negative way, though, man.
Yeah.
We want to think in a positive way.
But it is a mean game, and he's going, this is a mean game. I want to see the big number they make.
Listen, you've got some local pros and amateurs in this field, too. You're not talking about a full field of touring professionals.
Which makes it great, I think, the U.S. Open. Like we said, it's the most democratic of the majors. Anybody can win it if you're good enough, and if you go through the local qualifying, sectional qualifying, whatever the case may be, and you can... Conceivably.
Orville Moody was the last one to go through local, right?
1969.
Wow.
At the Champions, I believe, down in Houston.
Hello, friend.
Rick Swann can
Hello,
win
friends.
It.
Can I?
Yeah, you can.
They have some pretty thick rough over there, I hear.
Yeah, but they've cut it back about 2 or 3 more feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, with the wet weather anyway, I think that was probably...
Did we make predictions yet?
Good idea. We have not. Would you like to... Would you like to lead off? Teresa in Cedar Rapids, by the way, congratulations on winning the Dr. Pepper prize pack.
Mm-hmm.
We did have the question of what big name will not make the cut. We had that from a listener earlier on.
We'll have to think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Who was the consensus? Did you pick one?
We all had different people.
Yeah.
Well, different people.
I don't know. Did you talk to Brian about this? I have a question for you, because you have a lot of players that are talking about how thick the rough is all of a sudden.
Right.
And the fescue and all of that. Then you have somebody like Rory McIlroy, who was just saying, hey, if you've got 60 yards landing, you can land the ball there. It's what we're here for.
Right.
Basically.
It's kind of what they do for a living.
So when you go into it with those two mindsets, is that going to affect you if already the fescue is in your head?
Jack Nicklaus said he would eliminate them if they were complaining about the course.
The players.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Honestly, I'm with Jack. I'm with Rory on this, and you know, I'm not saying I play at their level at all, but the reality is it's the same for every player. Mm. You know, if it wasn't the same for every player, then I get it, and I realize, you know, some players hit it longer, some players hit it shorter. That's the variance in the game. However, they all have the opportunity to hit it straight, and that's really what it takes, and it's going to be. On this particular golf course, it's the person that keeps the ball in play all the way around, and those are going to be the players that are in the hunt.
Boy, I think if you're already thinking about that right now, that's trouble.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's almost cliche to say, really, you know, keep it in play and you're going to be in the hunt. Well, that's every golf course. You know, it's whether you're playing a parkland golf course with a lot of trees,
right?
You know, you still have to keep it in front of you. You got to keep it in play.
16 at Riverside, Scott.
Yeah, I know. I'm still on it. I'm still on
funny.
It. Still
I had
heading.
A friend in Oklahoma say on Facebook as he's showing the sign of the 675-yard par 5 and said, do any of you ever play one of these or have one of these? And I said, yeah, I have one, and I have another one not far from it.
Yeah, exactly.
Two over 600 yards and my 665 tee markers in the middle of the tee box, so it will play 675. And you know, you play a back pin, you're getting into the 680, 690 world.
Now, before we get to our picks here, the U.S. Open has been known as the USGA needs a good open because they had the Dustin Johnson fiasco last year. They've had some rules problems. Chambers Bay wasn't as good as they thought it was going to be, although the ending turned out to be really spectacular and drama-filled. But they need to have a good U.S. Open. I think they're going to get one. I don't know if they're going to get a popular champion, or I don't know if they're going to get a first-time champion. I don't know. But the USGA always, in the past, tried to protect par. If it's as wet as it looks like it's going to be, I still think you could see double digits. And do people rather want to see, do they want to see birdies, or do they want to see pros struggle? That's my ultimate question.
I don't know. That's a that's a good question, because like a low-scoring basketball game or a low-scoring football game, I think golf fits in that same category. You're going to see more shots, obviously, when they start to protect par. Ultimately, I think they're okay with it, because you're going to see more recovery shots, which I think people like to watch. Mm-hmm. They want to see those bunker shots, and they want to see those really good recovery shots. And those are fun to watch. When you play golf courses that are a little more wide open, easier to play, they're watching fairway green, fairway green. That gets a little bit boring.
I'm okay with 15 under at the Masters, but not the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I
don't want to see 15
under. I don't want to see it both. I 10 is about the limit for me. 20 last year at the British, even though it was great golf.
Right.
It was more, really, 20 under in a major.
Mm. Well, in the Masters, you're watching these putts curl and move different directions. They're aiming, you know, 30 yards right for a cup that's, you know, way in a different direction. So we're watching some really neat shots, even though those are for birdies, as opposed to trying to get up and down for a par. I think it's that same scenario. I think you're looking at just interesting shots that we like to see at Augusta are now going to be the interesting shots that they're trying to get up and down for par at Erin Hills.
Rick and I watched a video of a bunker shot, a bunker that was about 2 feet wide and 2 feet deep. You couldn't get out of it. This little trough. Mm-hmm. We were watching that, and they were trying to hit it sideways. They couldn't do it there because you would hit it in more trouble. I don't know what you're going to do if you get in that position.
Or, you know, what happens in the Kevin Na video. I mean, he swung twice and lost the ball. So
right.
If you're in that, you just drop, I guess.
You take unplayable,
take unplayable and take a stroke and move on.
I'd be looking for the bulldozer that night to fix that thing.
All right, who's going to win? Mark.
I've got two long shots and my surefire pick.
Okay.
A long shot, maybe not such a long shot, John Rahm. Young Spaniard.
I don't think he's a long shot.
He's been phenomenal, but I just wondered about his temperament and whether he'll have the patience to endure four rounds. My other long shot is Phil Mickelson, who apparently will not play, but should weather intervene, and he gets in the tournament.
That's a long shot.
And maybe the story plays out. How about that?
That's a good long shot.
Who's your winner?
I'm going to go with Justin Rose.
Oh! To win it? Okay.
2013 winner. Played a top five in five of the last nine majors, and he's playing with Jason Day and Rory McIlroy, and I think that's a good grouping.
I'm showing Rick who I wrote down.
Did you write?
Justin Rose.
Okay.
My long shot, though, is Steve Stricker. I think he's going to do well. The Wisconsin boy.
I did, too. He's a keep it in front of you type player, too. Yep. So that's a good golf course for him.
And I think the other one is going to be Billy Horschel. I think he's going to make some noise this weekend.
Wow.
So, Rick, who do you like?
Well, there's a lot of young guys who played in the fairly recent amateur there, right?
Yeah.
In 2011. I think Jordan Spieth, I think he might be due.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Rory. I like Rory. You know, I like his attitude right now. And if he's healthy, looks healthy, I think he has a good shot at this.
Brian, who you're the expert. Who's going to win?
I'm far from an expert at that. But, you know, we haven't seen much out of Patrick Reed in a while. So he'd be my long shot. And I like the way Rory's talking too.
Yeah,
I think Rory, you know, he's saying the right things. He's saying, you know what, this is our golf course. Let's go play it.
And he's used to those kind of conditions.
I like the way he's thinking.
Yeah,
I love it. Two Rorys, two Roses. I like that.
It'll be Alexander Noren, probably.
All right, should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And guys, thanks for stopping by. Brian, good to see you.
You as well.
All right. And Mark, you and Kyle got the ship the next 2 days.
So all right. Have a great time at Erin Hills.
Yeah, we'll see you on Monday. And I hope I don't need the umbrella, but I'm taking it anyway because if I take the umbrella, it will not rain.
If you wear the rain suit the whole time, everybody else will thank you because then it definitely won't rain.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. This has been Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Stay tuned. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next on KGYM.
Greeny, you know how to win at business?
Tell me how.
Show up early for meetings.